Thank you very much. And it is my privilege to be able to be here and to be able to show the video as well. And Pastor had mentioned about a gift. A couple of the gifts that would be included would be, there's a book called Bible Facts About Heaven. Very helpful in understanding what the Bible says about heaven and how to go there. But then also there's another book called Settled and Strong. Just knowing for sure that you definitely are on to heaven. You know, the Bible teaches we can be saved from our sin, but also it teaches that we can know for sure when before we die that we are headed there, and so very important. And these are gifts. And with that theme, the video tonight is going to be talking about the gift, and it's called The Greatest Thing About a Gift. What is the greatest thing about a gift? The greatest thing about a gift is that it simply needs to be received. However, a gift can be misunderstood. The recipient may think that there's a catch, or that they have to do something to earn it, or they need to help in the payment. What if the greatest gift that you have ever been offered was available for you right now? The only thing stopping you from receiving it was a misunderstanding. God has a gift for you, and it is the gift of eternal life. This gift is through His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is not only God's Son, but is God Himself, and proved it through a miraculous virgin birth. Prophets foretold the birth of Christ hundreds of years before it took place. Angels announced His birth and explained, "For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." The reason Jesus became a man was so that he could save us from our sins. Because of having a human father, we have a sinful nature that has been passed down from every generation since the very first man, Adam, was created. Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Not only a sinful nature was passed on to us, but also the penalty of our sin, which is death. This death separates us from God, and will do so for all of eternity, which means we will miss eternal life in heaven. It is for this reason that the sinless Son of God was born. Not having a human father, Jesus was perfect and lived perfectly. 1 John 3:5 says, "And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin." He came to pay for the penalty of our sin by dying in our place. When Jesus died in our place, he took our sin upon him. 1 Corinthians 15:3 says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." He did this by going to a cross. 1 Peter 2:24 states, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree." A cross was a cruel method of execution for criminals. However, Christ did not die for his crimes, but for ours. Jesus suffered and shed his blood so you can have your sins forgiven. 1 Peter 3:18 explains, "For Christ also hath once suffered for our sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." While on the cross, Jesus shouted, "It is finished." What was finished? The full payment for our sins. Your past, present, and future sins were paid for in full when Jesus died in your place. After Jesus willingly died for our sin, he proved once again that he is God by raising from the dead. He literally and physically came back to life. After showing himself to many witnesses, he later ascended into heaven where he now lives. In spite of our sin, God loves us and made a way for us to have eternal life in heaven. Romans 5:8 says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us." Can you see God's love for you? Listen to John 3:16, which tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus fully paid for your sin by taking your death, and in doing so, He offers you the gift of eternal life. So what is the greatest thing about a gift? The greatest thing about a gift is that it simply needs to be received. God's gift is received by believing. John 1:12 explains, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." God's gift is received by faith, not by working for it. All the work for the gift is complete. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Works are any good deeds we do to try to earn eternal life. If you did anything to work for the gift, it would no longer be a gift. God's gift is received by faith, not making additional payments. Gifts are always free to those who receive them. Would you pay more for a gift that's been fully paid for? Of course not. If Jesus died for all of your sins, then how many of your sins are left for you to pay for? None. This gift is truly undeserved, but is totally paid for. Perhaps you have misunderstood. You thought you had to be good enough to be able to receive God's gift. Many religions teach that you need to try and to work hard to be good enough for heaven, but you can never reach God's standard for perfection. Will you change your mind about trusting your good works and trust Jesus alone? John 14:6 states, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Will you right now receive Jesus Christ as your only Savior from your sins by placing your faith in Him alone? The Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." Believing on Jesus is simply depending on Him as the only one that can save you. It is relying upon Him that He's already fully paid for your sins, and you can receive God's gift of eternal life. This faith is not believing about Jesus, but depending on Jesus to be your personal Savior. It's like depending on a chair rather than believing about the chair. I could agree that a chair could hold me up, and I could stand beside the chair stating the whole time, "I believe that this chair can hold me up." That's just like believing about Jesus instead of depending on Him. I believe on the chair when I place my dependence on it. God is waiting for you to receive His gift by depending on His Son. The greatest thing about a gift is also the worst thing about a gift. Because a gift must be received, it means that it can be rejected. It can be rejected by simply being passive and not responding to God's invitation. Putting off this decision is saying no to God. What will happen if you reject God's gift? John 3:36 declares, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Do not hesitate to receive God's gift. Will you receive Jesus Christ right now? Acknowledge that your sin separates you from a righteous God. Acknowledge that Jesus died in your place, paying for all your sins. Tell God that you're placing your dependence on His Son in a prayer. Prayer is the way we communicate with God. This prayer is not simply words to recite, but a way to articulate your faith in His Son. If you are believing on Christ as your Savior, tell God, "God, I know that my sin is against You and that it separates me from You. I believe that when Jesus died on the cross, He paid for all my sins. I am depending on Jesus alone to be my Savior. I am receiving Your gift of eternal life right now. Thank You, God. Amen." Notice again that the Bible says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." If you just depended on Jesus to save you, He gave you the gift of everlasting life. That means if you died right now, you'd spend eternity in heaven. Since God's gift is eternal life, it can never be lost or taken away. For more information, what it means for you and your future, please click the link in the description below. Please also visit our website and email us and let us know about your decision. We have a free resource that can help you grow as a new Christian. We also ask for you to share this video on social media. Also, think about three people that you can personally send it to via email, text, or via messenger. If you did not make the decision to receive God's gift, what is stopping you? Whatever it is not worth missing heaven and being separated from God forever in the place called hell. To explore more of what the Bible says about eternal life, please also visit our website. And may God bless you.
Clearly put for us how we can know for sure that we have eternal life. That's really what this church exists for. Not that we can give eternal life, because we can't give it. It's in the person of Jesus Christ, but so that we can tell people about how they can have eternal life. That's why we exist. That's why we have a church. And so, again, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for listening so very attentively to that. Brother Miller will be talking about those very things here in just a little bit. But before we get to that, what we want to do at this time is we want to sing one last hymn before we have some special music and then the message. So this time I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet. The number is 211. The title of the hymn is Whosoever Meaneth Me. And the title of that, what that means is Jesus said, Whosoever believeth on him hath everlasting life. And that whosoever means all of us. It's one of those inclusive words. So that's what the song is about, Whosoever Meaneth Me. So think about those words as you sing this hymn, number 211.
I am happy today and the sun shines bright. The clouds have been rolled away. For the Savior said, Whosoever will may come with him to stay. Whosoever surely meaneth me, surely meaneth me, oh, surely meaneth me. Whosoever surely meaneth me, whosoever meaneth me. All my hopes have been raised, so his name be praised. His glory has filled my soul. I've been lifted up from the sin set free. His blood hath made me whole. Whosoever surely meaneth me, surely meaneth me, oh, surely meaneth me. Whosoever surely meaneth me, whosoever meaneth me. Wonderful love, oh, what grace divine, that Jesus should die for me. I was lost in sin, for the world I pined, but now I am set free. Whosoever surely meaneth me, surely meaneth me, oh, surely meaneth me. Whosoever surely meaneth me, whosoever meaneth me.
Amen. You may be seated. At this time, we do have a separate church service downstairs for the young people ages 4 to 4th grade. If they want to go down, they can follow the other children down right now. The evangelist's wife, Mrs. Miller, has been providing what they call a kids club down there. There's puppets and some other fun things and activities, and it will be a message more kind of on their level. So if you want to send your children down for that, you can at this time. But I'm going to ask the choir to come up right now. And while they're coming up, I just want to mention this about Brother Miller, that he has been a blessing to us so far. He has been a real encouragement to us so far, and we've had services now Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and each time he's been very easy to listen to, very enjoyable, and we've learned a lot. And so as soon as the choir is done singing, they're going to go ahead and step down when they're done, and the evangelist Chris Miller is going to come right after that, and he'll begin to speak to us here this evening. And I want to encourage you to pay very close attention as he speaks, and I think it will be a blessing to you.
Thank you very much for that. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, as Pastor mentioned earlier, there should be a Bible near you if you don't have one. And if there's not one underneath in the seat in front of you, please allow someone else to share with you, and please be willing to share. We'd appreciate that. Romans chapter 6, and we appreciate everything this service already, the special music and the singing and the poem and all of these things, and we appreciate each one that is here tonight. In Romans chapter 6, it explains, and in fact, the entire book is really focused on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, the word gospel means good news. So this teaching and this message from this book and the Bible is a good news message of hope. And it brings us exactly what we need, and that is certainly hope from God's Word. I'll let you remain seated as we read verse 23, just one verse, and then after we read this verse, we'll go through and we'll pray and ask the Lord to help us as we go through and explain this gift of eternal life. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the Bible says in the last verse of this chapter, "For the wages of sin is death." That is, the payment of sin is death. "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." I'll say the reference. If you're able to, would you read with me out loud in unison this verse together? So I'll say Romans 6:23, and then we'll just pick it up together. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Tonight I'll be talking about the perfect gift, the perfect gift. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Father, I pray that you would guide us and direct us, and Lord, help us in all that we do tonight. Lord, fill me with your Spirit, and I pray that each one here that is listening would be open and receptive to your word. Lord, I pray that ones here that need to trust Christ as Savior would do so, and ones that need to know for sure that they're on their way to heaven would get that assurance and that peace and that hope in their heart. Lord, I pray for others that are burdened for their friends and family, that there would be a way that you would show us to be able to pass on the gift of eternal life and share this gift with others. And Lord, we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. An amazing story of the 1800s of a man named George Wilson. In 1829, he was guilty of federal crimes and was sentenced to death. This was way back when, way before the Civil War, and he was sentenced to death by hanging. And the crimes that he committed in today's time certainly would not be guilty of death. And so several of his friends got together, and on behalf of George Wilson, they went to the local authorities and they said, "We would like to plea for a pardon for him. And would you excuse him and pardon him for his crimes? Yes, he's guilty, but would it be possible to be able to do so?" And they actually considered it. And it went from the local authority to the state level and to different courts and different ones there. And from the state level, it made its way all the way to the desk of President Andrew Jackson. President Jackson looked over the crimes of George Wilson. He saw the penalty of death and he reviewed it and he said he's pardoned. He signed the paperwork and signed the pardon. The paperwork was immediately handed down to the state authorities and then from state to local. And as they were delivering the paperwork and the pardon to George Wilson, they came to his cell, opened the door, and they said, "George Wilson, this is your lucky day. This is your best day ever. We have a pardon from the President of the United States for you and on your behalf." They opened the cell and something happened. They totally never anticipated. George Wilson refused to accept the pardon. He stayed right there in that prison cell, knowing that he was condemned to die. He said, "No, I refuse it." What do they do now? Do they make him go free? You're free. Get out of here, you know? No, they couldn't. They didn't know what to do. So it ended up going to court. And they said, "Well, what should we do?" And they went to a higher level of court. Then it made its way to the Supreme Court of the United States and on the federal level. And they tried to figure out what is it that we should do. And finally, the court handed down the decision and it read this: "A pardon is a deed to the validity of which delivery is essential. And delivery is not complete without acceptance. It may then be rejected by the person to whom it is tendered. And if it is rejected, we have discovered no power in this court to force it upon him," end quote. George Wilson died 3 weeks later by hanging, a death in which he was pardoned completely and fully. Just like that, God has made a way for us to be pardoned, forgiven of our sins, and be able to have eternal life in heaven, and we can know for sure about that tonight. God is offering to you the perfect gift for you, but will you accept it? like was mentioned in the video, the greatest thing about a gift is that it simply needs to be received. But it can also be the worst thing. You can reject it. Not one person, the pastor here, the kind church folks here, myself, will ever force anyone to accept the gift. We cannot. It is your choice. But will you tonight make the right choice and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and His gift of eternal life? Let's look at this gift and notice a few things about the perfect gift. First of all, the perfect gift fits our need. The perfect gift fulfills our need. The Bible says this in verse 23, Romans 6, 23, for the wages of sin is death. So there is a need because of sin and the consequence of sin, which is death. So this perfect gift of God fulfills this need. Have you ever gotten a gift at Christmas and it's not the right size? Thanks, Aunt so-and-so, but I'm not that size anymore. Maybe 10 years ago I was that size. Or perhaps you get something and it breaks. Kids, you know, you're so excited about a gift and you ask for this gift and you look forward to it and you get it and within 24 hours it's broken. And you're like, wow, this gift was not what I thought it would be, and it sure didn't measure up. And maybe the gift doesn't fit, or it doesn't, you think the person, it was a nice, kind thought, but it really doesn't meet any type of need. God's perfect gift meets our need, and it's the truth that we are sinners. The Bible is very clear about this. Look, if you would, you're in Romans, several chapters in here help us in understanding things. Look at Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. In verse 10, the Bible explains, of Romans chapter 3, verse 10, it says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. So that means there is none that, a simple way of saying righteous is someone that does right all the time. Do you do right all the time? Every single time? There's not been one time you've missed a stop sign. I've done that, and I was like, whoa. I was just going through a neighborhood that I travel all the time, so I wasn't expecting it. I just blew past a stop sign and thought, I totally didn't see it. Has there ever been a speed limit that you've not broken? Okay, right there. We're stopping. You know, obviously, the truth is there's none that does right all the time. And it goes through and explains several different types of sins. It says in verse 11, there's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. You know what? You're not seeking God. God is seeking you. And there's a reason why you're here tonight, because He's seeking you and He loves you. It says they are all gone out of the way. Verse 12, they are together become unprofitable. And there's none that doeth good. No, not one. So the Bible is very clear that the matter is not one person does right all the time and is righteous. No, not one that does good all the time. Someone does that which is bad. Obviously, that's sin. And the conclusion is in verse 23. Look at verse 23. For, can you say the next word out loud? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Would you agree with God tonight that you are a sinner? Would you agree with God's word and just admit and be honest that you have sinned against a holy, perfect God? I remember visiting in a neighborhood with a pastor in Indianapolis, Indiana, a number of years ago, and we knocked on a person's house, and man opened the door, and he was kind to us, and we invited him to the special services that we're having at the church, and he said, well, thank you, I'll think about it. I said, well, more important than coming to church is to know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. Do you know that you're on your way to heaven? He said, no, I don't. I said, well, would you mind if we showed you? He said, that'd be great. So right there on his porch, we started to show him. And the very first verse I showed him was verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The idea of coming short of the glory of God means to fall short of His perfection. Like we would fall short if we tried to dunk a basketball or even something, reach something higher. There's no way we could attain to it. We fall short of that standard. So I was explaining and I was illustrating sin. Sin is lying or stealing or wrong thoughts. Sin can be pride and anger and irritable spirit. Sin is anything that's independent from God. Sin is disobeying God and not putting Him first and putting money and other things before God. And we are all guilty of all of those things. And I said, now, sir, are you a sinner? And he looked at me square in the eye. He's 40-something years old. He said, no, I'm not a sinner. I thought, wow, I met the only guy that's not a sinner. And you know what? He was a sinner. He just wasn't being honest. And so I thought, well, maybe he's not catching it. So I read it again. In fact, I said, would you read it? And so I showed him the verse. I said, read it for yourself. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So that means I'm a sinner. I pointed to the pastor. Pastor so-and-so is a sinner. And I pointed to the neighborhood. Everybody's a sinner here. And I explained that sin is disobeying God and his commandments, and we fall short of his standard. And I illustrated again. I said, sir, are you a sinner? And the man said, no. Then I said, are you married? He kind of looked at me strangely. And he said, well, yes, I'm married. I said, can I talk to your wife? He said, why? She knows you're a sinner. You know? Let's just be honest tonight, okay? The truth is, no one here at all can say, I'm going to heaven because I'm a good person. The person in front of you is a sinner before God. And the only way I can share to you that I know I'm going to heaven is because someone has shared this message with me, and I know now my sins are forgiven. But the problem with our sin is not just that there's a sin there that bogs us down, makes us dirty, but the Bible says this, the wages of sin is death. There's a punishment. There's a payment. Sin has an actual cost. It's a payment for it, and it's death. Look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Romans 5 and verse 12 explains what happens with sin. Sin came into the world by the first man named Adam. He disobeyed God and took the fruit that God told him not to eat of in the Garden of Eden. His wife, Eve, also ate, and now they became sinners, and now their children were born sinners, and every generation afterwards is born a sinner. Look at Romans 5:12. It says, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. So that's Adam, is how sin entered into the world. And death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So explaining, sin entered through Adam, and all have sinned. And now there's death. Death passed upon all men, all mankind. So it's obviously ladies as well, and children, and boys and girls, everyone. And it says, death has passed to all of us because, or for that, we all have sinned. Because of our sin, there is that punishment of death. There is a physical death, a spiritual death, and an eternal death. Now, you would understand what a physical death is when you have been to a funeral. Obviously, the person's body has stopped working, and there is a death. Now, what does death mean? It means separation. So at that point, their soul is separated from their body. We look at them in the casket, and we say, oh, I remember them, but you know, that's not the real person. That's not the real them. Their soul is now left the body. It's somewhere else. Well, where does the soul go when it leaves the body? There's only two options. There's not three. There's not four. There's not just some type of foggy place. Where it goes isn't determined at that point. It's determined before death ever takes place. So the only two places is either heaven, an eternal life with Jesus and God in this beautiful place called heaven, or separated from God in the place called hell. So physical death is when the soul is separated from the body. What is spiritual death? Well, spiritual death is, again, since death means separation, it means that we are separated from God because of our sin. Spiritually, we are dead. Spiritually, we need life. Spiritually, we have a need, and that is to trust Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. So there's spiritual death. So I'm alive right now. Let's imagine for me that no one has ever shared with me what you saw on the video. No one ever told me that I was a sinner and I could have my sins forgiven through Jesus Christ and trust Him. And so I'm here with you tonight, and then I go and get in a car accident. And I die, my body and my soul separate. My soul then, because of the spiritual separation I am in right now, not trusting Christ, being on my own, in sin before God, that spiritual death, if I die in that state or that condition, then I will be eternally separated from God in the place called hell or the lake of fire that burns forever and ever. Now, that is not something that we dwell on, but it is the truth. And it is something that you need to hear, because many people never hear the truth. And there are ones here that love you enough, and I say that on purpose, that love you enough that look you square in the eye and say, God loves you, and you need to be saved from your sin. And if you stay in your sin, it will separate you from God forever, and you will miss heaven and be disqualified from heaven forever. This gift of eternal life fulfills our need. It fits our need. Not only do we see this gift of eternal life fulfills our need, but we see the gift of eternal life is free. Every gift is free, but isn't it wonderful that God makes it so obvious and so evident? Romans chapter 5, look at verse 15. It says this, but as not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. In verse 16, it mentions again the free gift. Now, God didn't have to say free gift. That's redundant. But he's doing that on purpose so he could communicate to us that this gift is free. Why is it free? Well, it's free because you can never pay for it. You can never pay this price. The largest uncut diamond weighs 6,000 carats. Aren't you glad your wife didn't ask for that one? Years ago, it was worth $15 million. That was years ago. It has to be over 20 plus million dollars for this uncut carat. Now, what if your wife says, I want that, that carat, that diamond? Well, there's no way that you could be able to afford that. There's no way for majority in here. We say some in here may have that type of money, and that's okay. But how about something that's even bigger, the national deficit? I'm sorry about bringing bad news. I don't even know what it is now. I don't want to know. But it's so many trillions of dollars. You know, as we speak, as we go through the service, the national deficit is just going up and up and up by millions of dollars. It's incredible. It's beyond what you and I and all of our country could even pay. Now, don't just get sidetracked on that, but just recognize that that is such a huge debt. You can't pay for it on your own. Well, just like that, we can't pay for our sin debt. It's free because you don't have to pay anything. A gift can't be a gift if you pay anything. Now, I'm not a car fanatic, but I do like nice cars, and I've eyeballed that new Corvette. It looks so nice. It looks almost like Ferrari, Lamborghini type, and it looks really sharp. And I don't know how much it is, but what if someone came to my door, knocked on the door, and had one of those brand new Corvettes? And they said, it's yours, Brother Miller, as a gift. Woo! Would I be excited? Yes. But what if they said, all you have to do is pay $1,000? I'll go get it right now. I would have no hesitation. I was like, okay, I'll go get the $1,000. Would I pay $1,000 for a brand new Corvette? You better believe it. That's a great deal. It's a tremendous bargain. But it's not a gift because it's not free. You see, there's no way $1,000 could come close to paying for it. It might pay for the steering wheel cover, you know, but it's not going to do anything else. So would we recognize tonight that this gift of Jesus Christ that he paid for us on the cross for our sins, it is free to us. Why is it free? Because you cannot pay for it. It's free because it's free. You cannot pay anything. Otherwise, it would stop being a gift. So you can't say, okay, I'll give something. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So works are any good things that you think you can do. Well, I've done bad things, so what if I do good things? That isn't there a scale, and God looks at all our bad things, and if that goes really bad, and what if we put all our good things over here and balance it out or even outweigh it? Then could I get to heaven? No. Not one verse in the entire Bible teaches that. It teaches the opposite. And what happens is Satan lies, and he tricks us, and he deceives us so we can be blinded. And it's like we're sitting in a room that's completely dark and we can't see that there's a gift that God has for us right there, and it's paid for. And all we have to do is accept it. Jesus Christ paid for it all. He already paid for your sins. None have to be paid for anymore. I remember one particular time I met a guy and he was coming out of Cracker Barrel, and I was talking to him. I said, "Hey, I have a DVD and I had one of our videos on it," and I gave it to him. He said, "Thank you." I said, "Hey, I give this away because, you know, a lot of people are confused about how to get to heaven." I said, "A lot of people think that, you know, you can't know for sure that you can go there ahead of time before you die. You just have to, you know, wait and see. But then also, a lot of people think you have to be really good to get there." He said, "Oh, yeah. You have to be really good." I said, "I got him." And so I said, "Well, let's look at a verse." And I showed him Ephesians 2:8-9. He goes, "Wow. For by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves." And it took him a long time. It was like 45, 50 minutes speaking to him in the parking lot there. But he was so interested, and he had never really heard. I said, "Do you know why Jesus died on the cross?" And he had been to church before, I don't know how many times. I said, "Do you know why, Gary, do you know why Jesus died on the cross?" He said, "No, I don't." I said, "Jesus Christ died for our sins, for your sins. And he paid for all of your sins in full on the cross. And he did it all completely." I said to him, I said, "Now, if we went back into Cracker Barrel and I bought you a gift and I paid for it at the register, gave the money, got the gift, and then I came out and I handed the gift to you, would you take that gift and go back inside and pay any more money for it?" And he said, "Yes." He goes, "Wait a minute, no." He realized that doesn't make sense. "No, I wouldn't go pay more. You already paid for it." I said, "That's it." He goes, "Oh." And finally he saw it, that this gift of eternal life in heaven has already been paid for when Jesus, who is God's Son, perfect, left heaven, came to earth, died for all of your sins. It was placed on him. And like we saw in the video, he said, "It is finished. The payment is completely done." He was buried and he rose again. Now he's in heaven and he's waiting for you to accept the gift. How do you receive the gift? Just like we explained on the video, you receive the gift by simply believing on Jesus Christ. Now, what is this believing? What is this type of faith? It is a dependence upon him. One last passage of scripture, and then that we'd like to see. Would you take your Bibles and turn to the left to John? John chapter 1 and find verse 12, and then John chapter 3. And these will be the last verses that we'll see tonight. And again, if you are unfamiliar where John is, go to the left from Romans. You'll find Acts, and right before Acts is John. The very first chapter of what says the gospel according to John. And so this is the good news according to John, disciple. And it's in the Word of God. John chapter 1, find verse 12. John chapter 1 and find verse 12. Here we see in John 1, 12, the Bible says this. If you have it, would you just say, "Got it?" Got it? Okay, most of you do. Okay, John 1, 12 says this. "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." That means authority to be in God's family. "Even to them that believe on his name." Now, I'd like to read the verse again, and this time I'd like for your help on just two words. There's two words I underline in this verse. First of all, the word "received," and then secondly, the word "believe." The first word is word "received." I'd like for you to say that out loud. And then the second word is the word "believe" later on. Let's read it, and you read those two words out loud. Ready? It says this, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." So we see here that we understand this type of believing is receiving. So there's a gift, and I need to accept this gift by simply receiving. Here is the gift that's offered. You're offered a book tonight, and you can accept this gift. There's going to be some other gifts that are offered for you tonight. How do you get that gift? It's not difficult. It's not hard. At the end, you just take it, and it's going to be freely given. And you take it and say, "Okay, thank you so much. This is now your gift." Now, it says received and believed. Now, this doesn't happen two different times. It's not two different decisions. It's one decision that happens at the same time. You realize this, every time you've accepted a gift, you've accepted this gift by faith. If it's a Christmas gift or a birthday gift, you just accept it by faith. Now, that it's not spiritual. It's not something heavy. But you believe that the person's really given it to you. It's yours to keep. It's free. And it's a done deal. So you just believe by faith. Will you tonight accept what Jesus Christ has done for you? In just a moment, at the conclusion of this service, we're going to give you an opportunity to receive this gift of eternal life by trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And you can do so right where you're seated. In a moment, like we had in the video, I'll just lead in a way that you can articulate that decision to pray to Jesus Christ. And explaining to him, God, I know I'm a sinner. I know my sin, I deserve death and hell. But I believe that Jesus died for me on the cross. I'm trusting him now to save me from my sins. Take me to heaven when I die. Simple prayer like that, and God can hear your prayer, but most importantly, see your decision. You see, it's not a prayer that you just recite. We're not going to say, okay, everybody just recite the prayer and say these words. No, no, no. It has to be your decision that you make in your heart towards God, and the prayer is just a way that you can tell God about that decision. Would you tonight make that decision to trust Jesus Christ as Savior? It is the most important decision you ever make. I remember kids can understand this. Children, 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds and such can understand. And I get the opportunity to explain it to them in a summer camp setting. And one little girl, I don't know, she's about 8 years old or so, and she was listening all week long. She listened that she was a sinner and she deserved to be separated from God, but Jesus left heaven to die for all of her sins and paid for all of her sins, and all she needed to do is receive the gift. And she told her counselor, this was so sweet, she said, I want to receive the gift. I want to receive it. And she kept doing that with her hands. And when she prayed, she said, God, I'm receiving your gift right now. Just like that. Wasn't that so sweet? You know what? That day, that little girl trusted Jesus, and he saved her, and he gave her everlasting life. Look, if you would, at John chapter 3. Notice in John chapter 3, in the very last verse of chapter 3, the Bible says this, John 3 and verse 36. It says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Let's stop right there. Notice God did not say, he that believes about the Son, about Jesus, but whosoever or he that believes on the Son, just like it illustrated in the video, believing about a chair or sitting on the chair. Will you, some of you, you've believed about Jesus. You knew that there's a God, and I agree that there's Jesus. That's not what we're talking about. It's not just agreeing that there is a Jesus and that he died on a cross. History tells that. There are many that agree with that fact. It's not disputed historically. It's a fact. What we're asking tonight is for you personally to make the decision and say, dear God, would you save me right now? Because if I died right now, I wouldn't go to the place called heaven, and I need to have this salvation. I was 13, I was in a service like this. If you'd ask me, Chris, do you know for sure that you're on your way to heaven? I'd say no. And in that service, I recognize I'm a sinner. Because of my sin, it separates me from God, but his gift of eternal life is free. It's completely paid for. And in my seat in that service, just like where you are tonight, I trusted Jesus Christ. And ever since that day, I've known for sure that I'm on my way to heaven. You can as well. You can as well. Now, there are ones here, and you're burdened about someone else. You so wish that you're father, your mother, your children, your adult children, or someone else would have been able to be here to hear this message. You know what you can do? Is you can share it with them. Take that gift to that message and say, God, would you help me to talk with them? There's pamphlets that we have. There's information to be able to give them gospel tracts. The video that we have will give you a QR code and the link where you can be able to easily text it and share it as with many people as you possibly can and say, would you watch it? And in a week or so, I'll see if you have any questions. You can be able to do so. And would you pray that God would stop the lies of Satan and the darkness that this person is in so they can see that God loves them. He has a gift that's already prepared for them. And would you pray for that person even tonight? Would you ask the Lord, Lord, help me to pass on this gift towards others. But God, the world of the God of this world, Satan, has blinded their eyes. So they're in darkness. Lord, would you make it the strongholds of unbelief be torn up so that the light of the gospel, the glorious gospel, can shine in and they can see clearly. And then at that point, they can make a decision. Tonight, have you seen clearly what Jesus Christ has done for you? Would you make the decision to trust Jesus Christ? Tonight, then, after hearing this and seeing the video and listening to the beautiful poem and all of these things, would you recognize God loves you? Your sin separates you from Him, but He sent His Son, Jesus, to die for you, and He's waiting for you to simply receive His gift by faith in Him. You're without excuse now. Would you accept the gift or you reject it? What happens to the person who accepts it? John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Tonight, you can have everlasting life and know from this point on, you're definitely going to heaven. And let me tell you, it will change the rest of your life and your perspective on this planet. It is wonderful. The best decision you ever make. But what happens to the person that rejects? Look at John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And then it says, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Like George Wilson, the person that still is unsaved is in a holding cell. It's a matter of just time before the death sentence takes place. But the door of the prison cell is wide open. Jesus is saying, come, accept me. Get out of this prison of sin and death. Don't stay in that and be separated from me forever. Come on. Will you tonight say, okay, Lord, I want to be free from this sin. I don't want to have this death. I don't want to be afraid of dying anymore. I want to accept Jesus Christ and what He did for me and His gift of eternal life. Will you do so right now? Let's ask the Lord to help us in a prayer, and then I'll do like I said. I will explain to you how you can have your sins forgiven and make the decision even right where you are. Then I'll encourage you to get the information and materials that can help you know for sure about this decision and help you going forward. So in just a moment, we'll pray. After I pray, we'll have our heads bowed still, and I'll ask some questions. I'll ask who here has never trusted Christ, and I'll ask if you'd let me to pray for you. And then I'll ask who here has trusted Christ, and you know for sure, no doubts, you're on your way to heaven. You can raise your hand if that's true for you in a moment. Now I'll ask if you don't know for sure. I don't know for sure if I died, if I go to heaven or not. I'll ask that question and be just honest about these things and ask for prayer and allow me to pray for you. But me praying for you does not automatically save you. We're going to give you an opportunity to simply receive God's gift by you trusting Jesus in your seat, right in your heart, and telling God about that. Would you do that tonight? I pray that you would. Let's ask the Lord to help. Father, I pray that you'd help in this time of what you call an invitation where you invite people to accept your gift of eternal life. With their heads bowed and with their eyes closed, right now, let me ask this question. If you're here tonight and you would just be honest and humble enough to say, preacher, I have never accepted God's gift of eternal life. I've not trusted Him to save me personally. I've believed about Him, but I haven't believed on Him to save me. And I want you to pray for me as a man, as a lady, or as a young person. Would you be willing to raise your hand and allow me to pray for you? If you're here and you have never trusted Jesus, you have never accepted His gift of eternal life, would you let me pray for you right now? Would you slip your hand up just right now? Say, that's me. Just high enough where I could see it. High enough where I could see it. Say, I've never accepted God's gift of eternal life. please pray for me. I will not embarrass you, I promise you that, but I will pray for you. Let me ask the second question. Who here would say, Brother Miller, I know for sure, no doubts, I'm going to heaven because I've trusted Jesus Christ. And I am certain about that. If you are certain and confident about that, can you raise your hand all throughout the room? Say, that's me. That's wonderful, man. That's wonderful. Just so many, so many. That's great. You can place your hands down. Now, not everybody could raise their hand. And thank you for being honest. Just like me, I couldn't have raised my hand as a teenager. But tonight can be the turning point for you. And God loves you. Will you listen to him right now when you ask for his help? If you're here and you say, Brother Miller, preacher, I don't know if I died, if I go to heaven, or if I drop straight into hell, but I want you to pray for me about this. I'm concerned about it. So I won't embarrass you, but if you don't know for sure about eternal life and about heaven, would you say, would you please just pray for me right now? Would you slip your hand up just high enough where I could see it just even right now, right now? Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. I certainly will pray for these. Who else would raise their hand high enough where I could see it and say, would you pray for me? I'm not sure and certain that I'm on my way to heaven. Thank you as well. There's another. I will pray for you. Anyone else to say, pray for me? Thank you so much. And there's another. That's wonderful. There's four already. This is very important, and I know it does take some time. So we'll give just a few more moments here. Anyone else, if you already raised your hand, you don't have to raise it again. But if you're here and you say, preacher, I don't know if I'd go to heaven, if I die or not, I'm concerned about it. I'm going to pray for these four, not by name, but God knows your name. And I'm going to ask one last time, is there anyone else to say, would you also pray for me? I'm not sure that I am definitely on my way to heaven. Anyone else, real quickly? Thank you. I'm so glad I asked again. Good. God bless you. Wonderful. Wonderful. Anyone else? All right. Well, there are these five. Would you look this way? I'm going to explain what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray for five individuals. God knows your name. I don't even know your names. But God loves you, and he knows you, and he knows all the sin as well, and he's willing to forgive you right now. I'm going to pray for you, and then after I pray for you, I'm going to encourage you right where you are, like I mentioned, to make that decision and in a prayer to the Lord. And just be sincere and just trust him. It's simple. Just trust the Lord. Do you believe if you ask God to save you and trust his son that he'd give you everlasting life? He will. He says, he that believeth on the son hath everlasting life. He'll give it to you if you just ask him tonight by faith. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to encourage you right now to do so. Lord, I pray that you'd help with these five individuals. Thank you, God, for them. Lord, you love them, and we do too. And Lord, we ask that right now that you would help them and prepare their hearts, help them to know for sure they're on their way to heaven, and Lord, to be open to you and to your word. And Lord, right now, dear God, I ask, would you help them to make this decision to receive your gift of eternal life? With their heads bowed, with their eyes closed, you that raised your hand and I pray for, would you right now just say this prayer to the Lord and just trust him? Would you say, dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and my sin separates me from you. I believe that Jesus died for all my sins and rose again. I am now trusting Jesus as my only Savior. I'm going to repeat that so you would be clear and have another opportunity if you did not do so the first time. So if you haven't, would you right now just trust Christ by telling him this? Say, dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know because of my sin, I deserve to be separated from you. But I believe that Jesus died for all my sins and that he rose again. I am now trusting Jesus as my only Savior. Thank you, God, for saving me. If you prayed that prayer, made that decision right where you're seated, then God says he gives you everlasting life. If you did so tonight, would you just allow me to rejoice with you and pray for you more specifically? If you prayed to trust Jesus Christ and received his gift right now, would you just slip your hand up and say, that's me, I did so just right now. God bless you and you and you and you. Wonderful, that is fantastic. That is fantastic. Anyone else who say, I did as well, I did as well. That's fantastic. That is great. Praise the Lord for that. Is there anyone else? I don't want to miss anyone else that has certainly made this most important decision. Let me encourage you to do this. Tonight, as we conclude, we're going to have a hymn of invitation just be played. And I'm going to encourage to be able to get some help and counsel. Would you look this way? We are thrilled. Church, aren't you thrilled about these decisions? And we are absolutely excited and thrilled what the Lord has done. And if you're here and you've trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, we'd like to give you an opportunity to get some information. We'll hand to you so you can know for sure about this, and as well that we can pray for you more specifically. Pastor will be up here and available. The assistant pastor and their wives will be just available. In just a moment, we're going to just stand. We're just going to have a hymn of invitation just be played. I'm going to encourage you, would you do this? Would you just step out from where you are and come to the front and just tell them, hey, I trusted Christ as my Savior. I made that decision. Or maybe for you, say, I haven't, but I need to. And I just like to get some more my questions answered. And if that's true for you, you can come with a friend or a family member, your spouse, whoever it is that you came with, a guest, your host, whoever it is. We'd love for you to be able to come. Would you do that? We'd give you an opportunity to be able to receive these things. We'd encourage you, and it would be such a blessing to you and to the person as well. Let's stand right now and just ask the Lord to help. Thank you, Lord, for these that have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. I pray for the four that have raised their hand indicating that they've received your gift of eternal life. Lord, help them to come right now and get material that could help them. Lord, I pray as well that you would be with others that still need to know for sure and are still exploring about the gift of eternal life and learning about you. Help them also and to be able to even come and ask a counselor about their questions as well. With our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, as the pianist plays, if you made the decision, would you mind stepping out and just mentioning that to a pastor? Would you come just even right now? That would be great if you'd be encouraged to be able to do so. We would love to be able to give you that information and help you along your way. If you need to know more information, this would be a good time to be able to just come and say, hey, would you talk to me and answer my questions? I have some questions about the Bible. Opportunity. If you trusted Christ, it'd be great for us to be able to give you that information and just talk with you briefly. And fantastic. That's great. As a lady, you can come. As a man, if you trusted Christ, you can come as well. And that's just great. And we'd love to be able to give you that information before you leave. If you have some questions, this would still be a good opportunity for you to be able to ask those questions to a counselor or to someone else. Others, if you would like to come and just get some information or get some help in any way, would you step out? We'll just continue. continue just another moment. To look this way, and all God's people said, amen. That's a great thing, and it's a wonderful thing. If you made the decision to trust Jesus Christ as Savior, this is the best decision you'll ever make. And you can know for sure, based upon the Word of God, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He's given it to you tonight, and that's a great thing. If you still have some questions, please ask as you're leaving here and just can linger around. We'd love to be able to answer any questions and any discussion that you would have. And certainly we'll explain about the gifts as well. Pastor?
Like Evangelist Miller said, I just want to thank you so much for being with us, especially our guests and everybody. And church family, thank you so much for inviting people and being friendly and all of that stuff. Now, those of you who are our guests, remember that you have a gift that we want to give to you, okay? Just like the illustration that Brother Miller gave. So when you exit the auditorium, if you'll head toward the right, those glass doors that are there, that exit, if you'll use that exit, the song leader, Adrian, his wife's name is Jana, they'll be there near that door, and they would like to give you a book that we're going to give to you, as well as a cup that we have, or a water bottle from our church. And we want to thank you for coming, and that you'd remember us. We hope you come back tomorrow night at 6:45. You're welcome to join us again. Don't feel bad about that. We'd love to have you. You're always welcome here. And if you have any questions, if you need more information, maybe you're curious about what the evangelist talked about, but you weren't ready to make a decision or something like that, please ask. Don't be afraid to ask. We will not put you down. We'll not make you feel awkward. Many of us had many questions before we came to Christ. And so we understand those things. We'd love to help you with that, all right? And then those who are the hosts of our guests, those who invited and people came, be sure that you go by, and Adrian will have the gift for you as well. Maybe you can take your guests there to make sure they get their gift, and then you can get yours as well. And thank you so much for inviting. All right, I'm going to close this in a word of prayer. And once I'm done praying, then we'll be dismissed. And God bless you, and have a great evening. And again, thank you so much for being with us. Lord, it's been a privilege and an honor to be in your house tonight, and I thank you for these that you have brought to be with us. Lord, it is just such a blessing to be able to hear again of how you have given the free gift of eternal life to us through Jesus Christ, your Son. Father, thank you for giving that to us. Thank you that we don't have to try to earn it. Thank you that we don't have to suffer in that place called hell for our sin because of Jesus Christ. Thank you. Now, Lord, if there's anyone here that has not yet received that gift, would you put a great burden on their heart to continue to consider these things until they make that decision? Don't let them be in peace until they make that decision, that they might have eternal life and enjoy heaven with us. I thank you, Lord, that you will. Please keep us safe as we go our separate ways. Dismiss us with your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.